Hello, and welcome to It's a Fandom Thing. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and each week I'm joined by a panel of guests to discuss all things fandom and pop culture, primarily from a female perspective. You'll find everything from fanfic to cosplay to Schitt's Creek to Supernatural and everything in between. So put on your favorite piece of fandom merch, set aside that fanfic that you're writing about your OTP, and sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Pop Culture and Fandom News. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and this week I am joined by two incredible podcast hosts, and they have been on before when it was for Christmas music. That was the last time you were both on together.
That's right.
And that was like such a popular episode. It surprised the hell out of me, I have to say. I'm not saying it wasn't a good episode. It just really shocked me.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you mean by that?
Seriously, Erin.
I'm like, wow, this one really? I know that was a really popular one, but we had determined then that both Bex and Ishell host, like, they're on the same three podcast wavelength as me. So we're the triple podcasters.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I've come up with. You know, we have the sexy ladies, the triple podcasters, the wild women of podcasting, my Finn crew. We've got all different sorts of crews here at the podcast. But this week, for Friday's episode, we're going to be talking about ageism and fandom. So not as heavy as internalized misogyny, but still, I think, an important topic to talk about. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about some pop culture and fandom news. So I want to know, Bex, what is one thing in pop culture or fandom that you are into right now?
One Piece. So One Piece is like this crazy long anime. It's got almost 1,100 episodes.
Holy moly.
I just started watching. So they had a Netflix one, a live action one, not too long ago. And I was like, all right, I want to watch this. And my husband was scandalized. He's like, anime and live action never works out really well. Like, you can't do all the things. And I'm like, yeah, but if you want to get people into a show that has almost 1,100 episodes, a good way to start is give them 12 episodes that they can digest and then see. And that's exactly what happened for me. So I'm only on like episode 80 something. So I've got a long ways to go. But my thought was, like, right now, I know there's kind of a delay with new content and all of that because of the strikes. And for me, it's like, I don't like having to find a new show all the time. And all these shows these days have like 10 episodes, 12 episodes. And so I finish them and I'm like, well, now I got to find something else new. And once in a while, you're in the mood for that. But once in a while, you just want something that, like, all right, I know these characters, let me just get into it. And so I was like, One Piece kind of gives me both. I get something new to me and something that just goes on and on and on forever. So yeah, that's what I'm into. Late to the game, if you will, with 1,100 episodes under its belt. But yeah.
What is the name of the show? Did I miss that?
It's called One Piece.
Oh, I thought you were saying one piece of something that I'm into. I was like, that's why when you said anime, and I'm like, are you going to tell? Did I miss the name?
Yeah, I was really matter of fact. I was just like, the first words out of my mouth are going to be my answer.
I know. I just totally didn't get that.
It's pirates. It's pirates for anyone out there who's into pirates. It's really, I'm enjoying it right now. Yes, One Piece.
Okay. I was like, did I miss something there? And a couple of weeks ago on our pop culture and fandom news episode, our main topic was talking about why, in a recent stats that released, most of the shows in the top 10 most streamed are all shows that are older, mm-hmm. and that have like longer seasons. So
Right. It's longer seasons, and also that sort of like reliable factor of like, I know what I'm getting into with this. So yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, One Piece is the name of it, everybody.
Correct.
In case you're like me. So, Ishal, what is one thing you're into right now?
One piece that I'm into right now.
I almost choked on my water, Ishal. Don't do that.
And I'm so glad I'm getting to say this when Bex is on. So I went to visit some friends in California a couple weeks ago, and they were like, have you seen Ted Lasso? And I was like, I have not. So they like made me watch 3 episodes in a row. So that's the thing that I am into right now is Ted Lasso. So now I know who Coach Beard is, and I know that he has books. So now your podcast makes sense to me, Bex.
I love it. Oh my gosh, yeah. That's so exciting. I can't wait to hear all more about your journey watching it.
Yeah. I don't know what I thought this show was going to be, but it is totally not that. And so like when I started watching, like right after episode 1, I was like, this is right up my alley. Why did I not jump on this sooner? But yeah, I just had a total different idea in my head. But that is my thing right now.
I think people are just like, oh, it's about soccer. And it's like, it's not about soccer as much.
And I expected it to have this very like macho lean to it. I don't know, which sometimes is fine, but I just wasn't in the mood for that. But yeah, it is quite a gem.
Oh, I'm excited for you. Yay.
Yeah, I was the same way, Ishal, when I watched before. I had seen everybody just reacting to that show. And I was like, a show, it's just about soccer and or football, as some people, of course, refer to it. And I'm like, that never interested me when I was younger. So, you know, but then I kept hearing things about it. And I did watch it. I still haven't watched the final season, though. I know. I don't know why. I just haven't.
I have 3 episodes left, and I just like will not watch them. I don't know what's going on.
But I did love it. And so when you're done, go back. And for people listening, if you haven't listened to it, go back. A couple years ago, we talked about Ted Lasso. Bex was on that podcast episode as well, because the podcast that Ishal was referring to is one of the 3 podcasts that Bex co-hosts called Coach Beard's Book Club. So, which is a tie-in, of course, to Ted Lasso. So, and I'll let, when we close out, Bex will definitely tell you more about that. But yeah. Well, what I'm into is decidedly heavier than what both of my panelists have mentioned, like a lot heavier. There is a new docuseries Netflix called The Program, Cons, Cults, and Kidnapping. And it is an investigative docuseries, and it's done by a woman that she's haunted by her teenage experience at a troubled youth program. And of course, these have become more like investigated, and people have been talking about them more, I think, especially since Paris Hilton, when she came out and talked about her experience in those. And I do highly recommend, if you have any preconceived notions about Paris, and I'm trying to remember, have you ever covered Paris Hilton on Big Reputations Pod, Bex?
We have not. Not yet.
That
no.
might be a good idea to look at, because it's interesting when she is interviewed and talking about her experience in one of these youth programs, and it was a horrible experience, you get a totally different side of who Paris Hilton is. Hmm. And so I really applaud her for coming forward and talking about that, because since she's comes from a very well-known family, she's really well-known. I think that really got more eyes on these things that are still happening, where, you know, kids are like kidnapped, you know, from their homes by their families, or wanting to be kidnapped to go into these rehabilitation type programs that masquerade as schools. And like these people they're talking to that are adults now that were in these programs in schools that are now shut down, but this stuff still happens. They were abused mentally, physically. There is a sexual abuse they talk about a little bit. And they didn't get an education. That's the other thing. They didn't really get an education. And it was marketed differently to their parents. And their parents were almost like, it was almost like a cult-like thing for their parents. And the parents just spent tons of money. And so the people that run the programs get tons of money, and they are doing it under different LLC companies. So then that's how they're getting away with a lot of this stuff. And it's just, it's really heartbreaking, sad, tragic. And it makes me, I've spoken about this before, that in the 90s and 80s too, but especially in the early 90s, a lot of teenagers were being sent to mental hospitals, to psychiatric facilities. And this is a real thing. And it was kind of the same kind of thing where it was a lot of these places were bilking the insurance companies. And then when the insurance money ran out, they went, you're magically cured and you're okay. And a lot of times those kids would be, I was one of these people, by the way. I've spoken about it before in previous episodes. So I know for me that I have a lot of trauma around that. And as someone who has, because of other things, goes to therapy, every time I have to get a new therapist, which happens because of insurance and other reasons, it's like a trauma because I had a traumatic experience with that at a very young age. So I know a lot of people in my generation that went through that. And it's the same kind of thing of like, oh, your kid is, and I was, it was against my mom's will. I do want to stress that. I was put like on a hold. And then basically what they said is you either voluntarily commit yourself for a week or we will go to a judge and get you committed for over a month. And so then, you know, so it's like this, a lot of manipulation stuff. And to me, it's the same kind of thing as this. And so it's just so nice to see that because it's like validation, even though it wasn't the same exact thing and I wasn't there as long. And I mean, I did day treatment after that and stuff, but I wasn't there as long. But it's still, you form this camaraderie with the people there and you learn how to fake it until you're able to get out, and then other people don't as well. And it's just, yeah, so it's very hard to watch, but it's very, I don't know, vindicating in a way and very emotional for me and probably other people that have even been through that experience to watch, because it makes you feel less alone if you've ever been through something like that. And these are just disgusting stuff, things that are still going on, these programs. And then they also, you know, those wilderness retreats that kids go on, kids die in things like this. So it's really horrific. So yeah. So once again, that is on Netflix. So yes, my thing is decidedly heavier than what Bex and Michelle mentioned, but I think it's a very important docuseries. And I really appreciate that it is done and made by someone who was in there. So I think it adds, I don't know, it adds something else to it where it doesn't feel so like tabloidy, I guess would be the first word, you know, that comes to mind or something like that. So, yeah. Okay. So, Bex, what is one thing? I don't know if it's going to be one piece, but what is one thing that you are excited, upset, et cetera, about?
All right. I'm going to say a few words before I say the title.
Okay, thank you.
For me, it's the Inside Out 2 trailer. So I'm doubling down on my animation this week, but I am very excited. The full trailer dropped for Inside Out 2 the other day, and I think it looks really good. I'm usually very hesitant around sequels because they're often just money grabs. And I mean, I'm sure this is just as much, but I think it's like the story, the way they've kind of framed it, seems like a natural progression, right? Like the main character is 13 years old now instead of, I don't know how old she was in the first one, maybe like 8 or something. And so she gets these new emotions. Like the original film had 5 emotions. You had joy, sadness, anger, fear, and disgust. And so everything that was going on in her head was around those emotions. But now that she's 13, she gets anxiety, who is voiced by Maya Hawke, envy, who is voiced by Ayo Debri, right? Yes. Ennui, who is played by a French actress named Adele Exactopoulos. That's my attempt at... I don't speak French, I'm sorry. But I listened to people say that name a few times, and I'm like, I think that's where we're at. And then Embarrassment, which is voiced by Paul Walter Hauser. So you've got these kind of very typical early teen emotions added into the mix. So I'm very excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I never saw the first one.
Yeah, well, I know you're not a big animation person, right?
No, I'm not. But I know a lot of people were very excited for the second one. And I know that the first one, a lot of people are big, huge fans of that. So So yeah, so I know mm-hmm. it's a huge deal. So
yeah, I'm excited.
No, that's awesome. Awesome. And so, Ishelle, what is one thing you're excited, upset, et cetera, about?
I am excited that Rick Grimes is back on The Walking Dead and Michonne is back. And tomorrow is episode 3, and I have loved the first 2. I'll try not to spoil anything, but something happened in the first episode that had the fans riled up. But it had to happen because we needed to understand, like, why would Rick be gone for all this time, you know? And so we had to see just how desperate and dire things had gotten. But I'm excited about it, and I'm watching it with my family. And we have, like, a family text thread. And so it has been good times. I am sad that it's a limited series, so it's only 6 episodes. It's possible that they're, like, hiding some stuff from us, but I don't really know, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of money involved with doing this whole deal. So it could be where we're only going to get these 6, but I am very excited about them.
We will. Someday we are going to have to talk about The Walking Dead on this podcast. I was really into it, and then I kind of fell off.
Well, it's been like 37 seasons, so I get it.
There was actually a TikTok I saw the other day. It was so funny, and it was like 20-something. The year was 20-something, and it was all of these different iterations of The Walking Dead, and it was hilarious. It was really funny. I'll have to find it and, like, share it with you. And if I find it before I release this episode, I'll put a link in the show notes. But it's really funny. But yeah, I've got to go back. And so now this what you're talking about, though, that this is one of the spinoffs, right?
Right. Well, this, yeah, technically, because you know, okay, the main series is done, has wrapped, and okay, then these are all spinoffs at this point. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And what is this one called again?
It's called The Ones Who Live.
Yeah. Well, like I said, someday we're going to have to talk about it, and someday I'm going to go back and watch them. I don't know if I'll watch all the spinoffs, but
to catch up to this one, you don't have to. Like, if you're going to follow the main people, like if you're going to do Daryl Dixon, do his, and if you're going to do Maggie and Negan, I forget what theirs is called. Dead City, maybe? I forget. But then you might need to watch, but yeah.
Okay.
But you don't have to watch, like, Fear and all of those, Fear of the Walking Dead and all those.
Yeah, I think one of the ones they said on the TikTok was Fear of the Fear of...
Of the Fear, yeah. Yeah. There are some that, like, and I'm a pretty big deadhead, and there are some that, like, oh, I didn't even know that one was a thing. So yeah, there's a lot happening in that universe.
Yeah. Well, the first few seasons of that show were so good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They were
so good. Like, mm-hmm. It still has one of the best pilots ever, mm-hmm. ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
Well, they did so much with a zombie concept. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm excited about is also horror related. So Halloween is now owned by Miramax, like the whole franchise is owned by Miramax. So, and they're going to be doing a TV series that will be a quote unquote creative reset for the franchise. So the latest on it is they're going to do something that'll probably, like, take place in Haddonfield. And not sure yet who it'll involve. I know a lot of people are hoping that it doesn't involve Laurie Strode, who, of course, is one of the most famous final girls, played, of course, by Jamie Lee Curtis. So people are hoping it doesn't involve that character because they feel that character enough has been done with that character in the last iteration of Halloween movies, the last timeline. Because if you're not familiar with Halloween and the way it works, there are tons of different timelines. I like to call it a choose your own adventure. So if you don't like one timeline with Michael Myers, you can do another one and another one. So there are a bunch. My favorite is the one that I know a lot of people, it's not their favorite, but my favorite is the original, but it goes to the David Gordon Green ones. So I like those movies. I know a lot of people don't like them, but like I said, it's choose your own adventure. So you can go on a different adventure if you don't like those. So, but I'm just excited to see what a TV series will do. You know, like what kind of things they'll explore, if it'll be just Michael Myers stuff, or if it'll be, you know, exploring like victims or exploring like the effects on the town. I don't know, but it'll be an interesting thing, I think, to see. And so I'm excited for it because if you don't know, I love Michael Myers. I love I know this. I have like 30, like I think it's like last count, like 30 or something. I'm going to do like a TikTok showing everybody all of my Michael Myers stuff. I've been planning this for forever, but I have so much Michael Myers stuff. So it's like, of course I'm excited about this. I was so excited about it. I did 2 Instagram posts about it because I can't help it. This is like, this is my favorite horror character. As Sasha originally coined it, and this is true, this is my horror comfort character. So, you know, I have like, I have a little doll, I have a Funko, I have so much Michael Myers stuff. It's ridiculous. And I have a saved wish list of like, it's like hundreds of items that I want to get still. So I can never get enough. I understand there are some people that are fans that want it to just die already and be over with. I, for one, am excited to see this new Choose Your Own Adventure and where that'll take us. So, yeah.
It's not like they can't stop watching if they don't want it to keep going on. Just...
Oh, you must haven't heard, Bex. No, you have to watch it. If it's out there, you have to consume it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Thank you, Michelle. There's
no ignore option in the world. No.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Though, when Halloween Ends came out, and people hate Halloween Ends. Okay. I'm actually one of the few that actually really likes Halloween Ends. Don't come for me, people. There were people that were going after like Jamie Lee Curtis. There were people that wanted to like do a petition. There were like people like furious that because the film, the reason they were so mad is Michael Myers, it's not really, I mean, Michael Myers is in it, of course, but he doesn't appear until later, a little bit later, and he's not the big central focus of it. It's actually a new character, but I thought it was a really inventive way to do it. But people didn't like it because it lost, they felt like it should have been focused more on Michael Myers than it was. So I don't know, but I liked it. Okay, well, for our main topic, we've talked about this before a long time ago, but I wanted to revisit it because if you hadn't heard, the independent Western film Rust, which starred Alec Baldwin, it also had on there, of course, because I know a lot of supernatural people listen to this podcast. Jensen Ackles was supposed to be in it and a bunch of other people. And there was a shooting on the set because there was a live round was accidentally, or I mean, who knows, but put in the gun that was used that Alex Baldwin was shooting towards the like the camera. The gun fired and it killed Helena Hutchins, who was the cinematographer, and it seriously wounded the director, Joel Sousa. So this trial in New Mexico, because this is where they were filming, was against Hannah Gutierrez Reed, and who was the armorer, and she was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter. I do think it is important to note that the way that she got the job was largely because her father, Tell Reed, is a legendary armorer who worked on like Tombstone, 310 to Yuma, and LA Confidential, among many others. And Alec Baldwin is also set to face his own manslaughter trial in July because Alec Baldwin was a producer on the film, had a lot of say in what was going on, allegedly had a lot of involvement with the armorer, all that kind of stuff. And so I want to know, especially since we're going to be covering the movie The Crow in a few weeks, and of course, Brandon Lee died on that set when the same kind of thing happened there. And we had all thought, well, that would end that kind of stuff, but obviously not. And I guess, allegedly, there were other live rounds found on the set. And so it wasn't just this one bullet that happened to be there, this one live round, because they don't use live rounds on set. They're not supposed to because of this very reason. So I want to know, Bex, do you agree with this verdict, and do you think this will bring about any other changes to the industry that we already thought were changed?
Well, that's the thing, right? So, like, I was like, I remember when it happened, and I was just like, well, how did live ammunition end up on the set in the first place? Like, that's the first question, but I didn't really look that much into it at the time. I don't feel extremely well versed in this topic, but I would say, like, reading The Conviction, and I looked at a couple of different articles and such, I think it seems fair. You know, I guess they didn't prove whether or not she was the one who brought it to set, if I read that correctly. But it was her responsibility to check the weapons before they were used by the cast. And that's where the involuntary part of the manslaughter comes in, I guess. It probably, I mean, I guess maybe under his producer role, it might have a different impact. But like, as the person who fired the gun, it's probably good news for Alec Baldwin in that, like, if she was found guilty, then, like, will he, you know, if she was at fault, could he be at fault? I don't know, unless there's other evidence that comes to light by the time his trial comes up. I don't know. Again, not my area of expertise. I was just kind of like playing through it. As far as changes to the industry, like, I'd like to hope so, but as you mentioned, like, there have been rules in place since Brandon Lee died in 94. Like, that's 30 years ago. And it seems like even if there are rules, they weren't being followed. So, I mean, you can make industry claims like shifting things altogether. Like, for example, maybe you could say, oh, all firearm scenes now need to be digital, right? That you can't have actual ones. That would be interesting if we're thinking about like low budget indie films, some of which may not have the capabilities to do that. I don't know. It's a very weird subject for me that like I kind of wish I knew a little bit more about, and I tried to poke around and find out some information when you said, hey, you know, we're going to talk about this, but it seems like a giant mess, and it should just be that there were rules in place and they were followed, but clearly that wasn't what was happening.
Yeah, yeah. And Ishel.
Yeah, I also remember when I heard about this, I was in a Lyft, and my driver told me, he's like, oh my gosh, did you hear about this? And same as Bex, my first thought was, why was there a live bullet on set? Like, do they do that? I didn't think that was how it went. And so in my mind, like, whoever is responsible for that, for having that on set and loading that into the gun is the person who, if there is some liability, it's on that person, I would think. And so if she's the armorer and that's her job, like, she's the final authority on, hey, this one is a blank and this one is not, you know, that should be her job to do that. And you would think that they would have some type of safety measures and precautions in place. And I guess from the articles I was seeing, it was like they were rushing, they were behind schedule. She wasn't getting time to do what she was supposed to do. And so that's why they're bringing the producers in into the whole thing. And so, yeah, the whole deal is just kind of interesting. I think nobody wants to be responsible, of course. I mean, somebody died and now there's, you know, legal ramifications. But yeah, I mean, if that's your job, and I think they were saying, I don't think she said that she brought it on set, but in the article I read, it's like, well, they looked at this footage and these notes and da da da, and based on that, they determined that she was the one who brought them on set. Did she have them just mixed up? I don't know. And did she keep them all in the same duffel bag? I'm not really sure what was going on there. But to me, unfortunately, that is where the responsibility lies, on that person. And I think with Alec Baldwin, he is saying that he didn't actually pull the trigger. He's just saying like he pulled the hammer on it, but not,
yeah,
he didn't pull the trigger. And it's like, I mean, stranger things have happened, and guns do weird things. I am from a very gun heavy state. And so I've been around guns since I was a child. That's just kind of, I'm not saying that I'm like pro gun or anything, but that's just kind of the nature of where I'm from. And so, but we're taught gun safety from like 5 years old, and you never, don't pull a hammer, don't even put your finger on the trigger. Never point your gun at anything you don't want to shoot. Yeah, so, I mean, he should definitely get at least a, you know, slap on the wrist. I don't know that an involuntary manslaughter charge is appropriate in this case, but I don't know. So, tricky situation, but, I mean, if somebody's got to pay, it was her job to know what was there and to make sure things that shouldn't be there weren't there on set.
Yeah, and this film, you know, with the, you know, we're talking about with the tight schedule and stuff like that. This film had a lot of issues where crew members, I believe, allegedly were working such long hours that they were afraid they were going to be falling asleep behind the wheel. this goes into other things of why IHSE may be striking at the end of July and why they, you know, a couple of years ago were going on strike or, you know, doing that. And that's safety. You know, you have safety issues and you also have to be watching out for your crew. And when you're not watching out for your crew, that's the responsibility of the producer. They're supposed to be responsible for that. And especially if the producer is on set every day, like Alec Baldwin, and they should be watching out for that. You're making an indie film, so your budget's going to be tighter, your schedule's going to be tighter, but that doesn't mean you throw safety out the window. And I think that's a lot of what was happening on this set. And, you know, here's the thing. Because she did load this gun. She loaded the gun. You would think someone who is an armorer should be so trained that they should triple, quadruple check that. And no, they should know the difference just by looking between the two. And also, the person who's handling that gun, from what I've heard and understood, should also be responsible for double checking and making sure that what they have in that gun are not live rounds. They're supposed to be trained on that, is what supposedly, allegedly, that's what I've heard. I know I was in a play once, Death on the Nile, or the Agatha, it was the most boring play in the world, I'm sorry. But it was an Agatha Christie play, and I had to shoot a gun off stage. And that was like way off stage, and it just made a sound. It didn't have anything in it. Loudest thing in the world. Every night I had to do that, I dreaded it because it was right there by my ear. But if that had been like dummy rounds or anything else, I would hope I would get so much training that I would know the difference and would know how to safely handle that gun. So if Alec Baldwin is saying and claiming I didn't have anything to do with this, you know, it's not my fault, there's no blame on me at all, I have a hard time believing there's no blame on Alec Baldwin for this. And I'm not, and I want to stress, because I know the person who was holding the gun, the actor, now his name is escaping me. I'm sure we will talk about it when we talk about The Crow. That actor, I do not hold any blame or ill will from. It tortured him for the rest of his life. He never could see the movie. He kind of quit acting, I guess. Supposedly, I believe that's what happened to him, because it just traumatized him, which, I mean, of course it's going to traumatize you if you accidentally kill somebody and you don't, you know. And so I know it was very hard for him. But Alec Baldwin's the producer on here. He's done movies for years and years and years. He's handled guns before. So you would think he would triple check. To me, it seems like, and once again, I'm just kind of like just thinking here, because this is all alleged. I can't, you know, I'm not saying it's definitely his fault, but it seems like to me he might have some responsibility here, especially as a producer, especially as the producer, because if you are setting up a film set that's already having issues and people are already feeling unsafe, that's an issue in and of itself. And I believe it was him or somebody was saying something because they wanted the shot to be where it was pointed at the, and this is why she was shot, that it was pointed at like the camera and towards where she was. And then someone was saying, well, that was, then she should have said, no, we shouldn't do that. And I'm like, let's please not blame the victim here.
Yeah, no.
So I believe that's what I heard. Once again, I believe that's what, and I couldn't find that quote again, but I believe I'd heard that from somebody. But so I do personally believe that Alec Baldwin does bear some responsibility if what he is alleged to have done, he did do. And I do agree with this verdict. And yes, it's tragic. It's tragic all around. But I'm hoping what this leads to is, I think what happened with the Brandon Lee thing is maybe they made stuff, which I know it's not completely safe, I understand, because of the strikes and stuff. But they tried to make things safer. I think, you know, when it's a big budget film, they can do it easier, quote unquote, than when it's on an indie film. I think sometimes they feel like they can cut corners, which is not a good thing all the time. And with the CGI thing, you know, a lot of people have said, people that work in the industry have said that's what needs to be done, because then you don't have this problem. Or you can have like a gun, but a gun that has nothing in it, and then later superimpose, like use CGI to use like the smoke comes out there, and then like the sound effects and all that kind of stuff, because it can be dangerous and it can lead to stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping it changes things, but this industry, I have very little faith in this industry. They'll change stuff for a little bit and then something else will happen. So it's
exactly.
Yeah, I think it's because the money matters. And so it's like, we got to stick to the schedule, stick to the budget. You know, I have a friend and he's a truck driver, but his company is like, you do not drive more than 8 hours. Like you can get fired if they find out that you're driving more than 8 hours at a time. And so they regulate that industry, or at least his company does. They regulate it pretty heavily. And I'm like, just do the same thing. It's just like, if we've got to make sure there's time to do this, we have to make sure people are getting rest. We have to make sure they're able to do their safety checks. And that just has to be the final line. And so if it's going to cost more money in production, that's just what it has to be. So yeah, at some point it does come down to the money people have to be held accountable to.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because I mean, when a couple of years ago, when IHC was first coming out about all the horrible treatment that a lot of crew members got, like women getting UTI infections, women having to wear like diapers because they couldn't go to the bathroom. And then when their period, it was even worse. Lots of people nearly falling asleep or falling asleep on the road. You know, just lots of horrific things because they're trying to meet a deadline and they want you there. And I think that's what people don't realize is like actors might get to the set, say, 7 a.m., but you've got the crew that's been there probably already 3 hours and all this stuff. So it's like, you know, it's a lot of people to make something. It takes a village to make a movie, even to make a short little film. It takes so much work. It's so hard to do. And it's a miracle that any movie ever gets made, honestly, because of how much work goes into it. And so I think people forget that. And a lot of those people aren't making that much money. That's the other thing people forget. Most people in that industry are not rich. Far from it. And a lot of these people aren't. And then I would think maybe there might be some conversation, which I haven't seen anyone really necessarily mention this, around the whole fact that, you know, the whole nepotism kind of thing that also might come into play here, where, you know, she's the daughter of a really famous armorer, so that's how she got this job. Does that mean she wasn't trained as well? I'm not saying that that happened or anything, but that is something that I'm wondering too, if that'll be a larger conversation coming, that kind of stuff. So yeah. Okay, well, thank you Bex and Ishelle for joining me for this week's Pop Culture and Fandom News episode, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this subject more, and we will definitely be talking about it when we talk about The Crow in a couple of weeks, which is kicking off our Gen X movie month, and that should be, I'm really looking forward to that one. That movie means a lot to me, so I'm looking forward to that one. But we're going to go ahead and close this out, and I'm going to have my two lovely panelists tell me where their podcasts can be found. So, Bex.
All right. Well, first up, we'll go in alphabetical order here. We've got Big Reputations Pod. You can follow us at Big Rep Pod on Twitter and Blue Sky, and Big Reputations Pod on Instagram. We talk about women that society has judged too harshly. Second up is Coach Beard's Book Club, which is, as Ishelle mentioned, the podcast where we talk about the books that are seen or mentioned in the show Ted Lasso, and that's at Beard's Book Club on Twitter. And finally, the third one is Latinx Visions. I co-host with a colleague of mine at Baruch College, and we talk about literature, media, art, and community around the Latinx communities in the U.S.
Awesome. Thank you. And Ishelle, your podcast is
yeah. So you can find me. I co-host Liberty Diner Dish with Ken. And our social media is, I think, at Liberty Diner Dish, or maybe just Diner Dish. no, it's at Liberty Diner Dish. I got it now. Okay. And then we also co-host Pink Plate Special, which is a spinoff. So Liberty Diner Dish, we give commentary on queer as folk, Pink Plate Special, we give commentary on shows and movies that center and highlight queer joy, LGBTQIA plus experiences. And pretty soon here, you will be able to find me on Let's Talk About Rex. That'll be a book related podcast.
Awesome. I still think that's one of the best titles of a podcast ever, to be honest. So I think everybody should listen just for that, but also because I'm sure it'll be a great podcast. So everybody here are fantastic podcast hosts. And since this is International, you know, Women's Month, I know we don't necessarily like do like a month devoted to that. And the reason we don't, I want to say, is because I figure that's kind of what our podcast is about. So that's why we don't just set aside a month for it. But on this month, go ahead and, you know, follow all these podcasts. I know Eshell's Let's Talk About Rex isn't out yet, but follow all these podcasts and support other women creators in the podcasting world, because it's very hard for us because people still believe that meme of just all the white men sitting around the microphone, and that's what every podcast is, and it's not, obviously. So try and give everybody, you know, a follow there. Yes. So thank you all for joining me. And this is Erin, and you can follow Fergie, who loves horror movies. So she is probably, I haven't told her the news yet, but I'm sure when this show happens, probably won't be for a couple of years, but when the Halloween TV series comes along, I'm sure she'll be watching it with me, and she'll be just in glee every time there is a murder. Everybody calm down. It's a dog. She loves horror movies. Okay. She loves true crime, and Abbott Elementary are her, and horror are her three favorite things to watch. I don't know. I think Abbott Elementary, because it's a little bit of a break from the, from the other things. It's true, though. But you can follow her on TikTok at Schroeder and Fergs. That's Schroederandfergs. It's long, but it's worth it. Be sure to like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/itsafandomthingpod. On Twitter at fandomthingpod. No, it's in that one. On Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at itsafandomthingpod. If you have any feedback, show notes, if you'd like to be a potential interview guest on the show, please feel free to reach out to us via our website. It's a fandomthingpod.com. Click the contact us button there. That'll shoot me an email and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And while you're there, consider becoming a Patreon supporter today for as little as $3 a month. You get ad-free content. You get bonus episodes and so, so much more. So we're going to have a bonus episode coming up, because it's March and wanted to do it in celebration of St. Patrick's Day. We're going to be talking about a Colin Farrell movie. So that's what was voted on by my Patreon subscribers. So I'm sure they did it for me, since that is my future husband. So yes. Yep. And I'm sure Colin will become a Patreon supporter the second he hears that. Yep. And then Friday, both Bex and Eshell will be back to talk about ageism in fandom. So until next time, remember, it's a fandom thing. Black Lives Matter, and stop Asian hate.